Your guest speaker for today is John Grubb.
For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Tornadoes and hurricanes do not build houses. Blind chance does not build a house. It takes intelligence to build a house. And it took intelligence to create this universe. In our lesson today, we'll talk about the existence of God. We've been discussing why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in our last lesson, we looked at theories that people have tried to use to explain away the empty tomb. But of course, the fact is that Jesus actually rose from the dead. And that's why the tomb was empty 3 days after he died on the cross. Yes, there is plenty of evidence to prove Jesus actually rose from the dead. Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Paul gives us proof of the fact that Jesus really rose from the dead. He wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also ye received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas," Cephas is another name for Peter, "then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, He was seen by me also, as one born out of due time." Did you notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8? He said that after Jesus rose from the dead, more than 500 people saw Him. Eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Christianity is based upon the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. If He did not, Paul says, we are of all men the most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 19. Peter adds his testimony to that of the Apostle Paul. We read this scripture in an earlier lesson where Peter says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain." 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. The Apostle Peter is not just talking about himself, but all of the apostles when he uses the plural pronoun "we." Peter and the other apostles were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. The Apostle John also uses plural pronouns to prove Jesus is the Christ. The apostles gave up everything because they knew Jesus really rose from the dead. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Again, did you note the plural pronouns the Apostle John uses in this passage of Scripture? Those plural pronouns refer to all of the apostles who were eyewitnesses of the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And not only the apostles, but more than 500 other people could bear witness to that fact. When you have that many eyewitnesses of the resurrection, that is one of the proofs that Jesus truly rose from the dead. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead, never to die again. This is unlike any other religious leader in history. There have been many religious leaders in the history of mankind. Every one of them died, and they are all still dead. Christianity is the greatest religion in the world because it offers hope for eternal life in heaven with the resurrected Savior. It is the greatest proof that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Yes, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There have been so many religious leaders throughout history, and they have started great religious movements. But Jesus is the only religious leader who died and rose from the dead and never died again. That's why we believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is God. And by rendering obedience, by obeying His will, we can go to heaven. Another proof that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, is the fact that after Jesus rose from the dead, He returned to heaven. That's called the ascension. The Bible tells us that Jesus went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, "Now when He had spoken these things, while they watched," that's the apostles, "while they watched, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw Him go into heaven.'" Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The prophet Daniel said that this would happen. He made a prophecy concerning the ascension in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. "I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought Him near before Him." Jesus went back to heaven to begin being king over His kingdom. That kingdom began on the first Pentecost after He rose from the dead, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. We have to believe in Christ to be saved. If we fail to believe and obey Him, we have no hope for heaven. In John 8:24, Jesus said, "Except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." Also in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And so these two passages of Scripture, Matthew 7, 21 through 23, and John 8 and verse 24, emphasize the importance of believing in Christ. But in order to believe in Christ, we have to have reasons. And in our lessons that we've been studying, we have given reasons why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We hope they help you in understanding His will. Let us all, with Peter, say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16 and verse 16. Since we have given you many reasons why you should believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we hope you will continue to study the Bible to learn how to be pleasing to God. Since we've completed this part of our study concerning why we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, we now want to turn to the next subject, which involves a discussion of the existence of God. Many, many people have different ideas about the existence of God. As we study this subject, we will see some wrong ideas about God, then give reasons why we believe in the one true God. There are so many people in the world that have so many different kinds of beliefs concerning God. And so as we begin this section of basic facts of the faith, we're going to look at some of those different viewpoints concerning God. The first viewpoint, and we note together that this particular viewpoint is becoming more and more popular in the world, is the philosophy of atheism. Atheism claims that there is no God. The atheist says, "I know God does not exist. I have proof." This is a statement the atheist cannot prove. An atheist would have to be everywhere at the same time to prove God does not exist. However, being everywhere at the same time is called omnipresence. Being everywhere at the same time, omnipresence, is one of the characteristics of God. A person must be able to be everywhere at the same time to prove God does not exist. For example, if you were looking for your friend and heard that he was somewhere in America, you could visit some of the major cities looking for him. While you are in New York City, your friend could be in Chicago, which is in the middle of America. If you then go to Chicago looking for your friend could have moved on down to Dallas, Texas. By the time you made it to Dallas, Texas, your friend could have gone on to Los Angeles, California. You might travel around the whole country of the United States of America and never find your friend. But you would not be able to make the statement, "I know my friend is not in America," because when you were in one city, he had moved on to another. To make that statement, I know my friend is not in America. You would have to be everywhere at the same time. So a person would have to become God to prove God does not exist. But if a person was God, then God would exist. So atheists say, I know God does not exist. I can prove it. They cannot prove their claims. Atheism is a false philosophy concerning the existence of God. Then there is what is called agnosticism. The agnostic says there is not enough evidence to prove there is or is not a God. This is really what the atheist believes. The atheist cannot prove that God does not exist. And so what the atheist really believes is, I don't think there's enough evidence to prove whether or not there is a God. Yet there is much evidence to prove the existence of God. And we will discuss that evidence as we continue our study together. And so we've talked about atheism and agnosticism. A third philosophy is called deism. Deism says, yes, a supreme being created the universe, gave laws, then had absolutely no dealings with his creation. The deist will admit the universe did not just happen, but he claims that the God who created the universe does not care for his creation and does not provide for the needs of man. Again, as we continue this study, we will see that God does care for his creation and for the needs of man. Then there is a doctrine called theism. Theism believes that God created the universe, but the theist does not believe the God who created the universe is the God of the Old Testament and New Testament. He does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He does not believe the church is the planned organization of God from before the foundation of the world. He does not believe that the plan of salvation that we read about in the New Testament is given for all people. Theists would include Jews and Muslims. It would also include the polytheist. The polytheist believes there is more than one God. They believe in God, but they believe in more than one God. This would include the Buddhists, the Hindus, and other Eastern religions that would fit into this category. Then there is what we've called Christian theism. The Christian theist believes in the one God of the universe, the God of the Old Testament and New Testament, who created the universe. This would include belief in Christ. This would include belief in Christ as the Son of God. This would include the one church that was planned by God and established in the first century, as well as God's plan for saving man. Yes, there are many, many different theories and philosophies concerning the existence of God, but there is only one right doctrine, and that is the one of Christian theism. Now, in connection with the existence of God, we must also talk about the origin of the universe. When we talk about the existence of God, we talk about where did our universe come from. It is a fact that the universe had a beginning. There are two possible explanations for the origin of the universe. It either came into existence by accident or it was created. Did the universe come about by accident? No, it did not. Things do not come into existence by accident. If I said the watch that I wear came into existence by accident, you would laugh. You would not believe it. I used to tell the story about the time a watch factory had an explosion and all the different parts of the watch blew out of the watch factory and began to roll down the road, and the farther down the road the watch parts rolled, they finally came together and formed this watch. Do you believe that? Do you believe that's the way that my watch came into existence? Certainly you do not believe that. And yet there are people who do not believe that watches came into existence by accident, who believe that the universe came into existence by accident. It is not possible that our universe came into existence accidentally. It was created. Who created the universe? Since the universe did not come about by accident, it was created. Who created the universe? Man certainly does not have the power or the ability to create the universe. How do we know? In addition to the sun, the nearest star is 4.3 light years away. That's millions and millions and millions and millions of miles away. Man does not have the ability to reach the nearest star in the universe. We can't even get close to our own sun without burning up. There are billions of stars in the universe. If man cannot reach the nearest star, how could he create all of the stars in the universe? The Bible emphasizes that God exists and He created the universe. In addition to the first two chapters of Genesis, note the following passages. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Note, please. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. When we look at all of the things that have been created in the universe, it is clear they could not have come into existence by accident. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And then Hebrews 3 and verse 4. For every house is built by someone, but He who built all things is God. We know that this universe did not come into existence accidentally. And there are different things that help us to understand that. For example, the universe has design. Because the universe has design, there must also be a designer. Clothes that we wear have a design because they have a designer. If they came about accidentally, there would be no design. However, because there is design, there has to be a designer. The universe has design. Therefore, there must be a designer. We need to take in consideration cause and effect. If a ball rolls into a room, we would wonder, who threw the ball into the room? The ball coming into the room is the effect. Whenever there is an effect, there must also be a cause. The universe is the effect, so there must also be a cause. The cause of the universe is Almighty God. Add to all of this the example of the human body. Our bodies could not have happened accidentally because man was the creation of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27.